Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're breaking down and previewing the upcoming quarterfinal matchup against Las Águilas del América and Rayados de Monterrey. So, plenty and plenty of Club America to talk about as we enter the postseason here. And to help me do all of that and talk all things Club America, it is none other than Chris Rivera. Chris, how are you, man?
Good. Ready to go on vacation next week. I'm going to be in Mexico again. So if you and Dylan do another recording, I might sneak in just like last year. But yeah, I'm excited, right? It's finally Liguilla time. I think America is well rested. I know me and you kind of had this little disagreement on the friendly against Galaxy, right? Where we talked about how it wasn't needed. And I kind of said, you know, it was. Nonetheless, we're healthy, right? That's the important thing. And, you know, hopefully we come out in the first leg without any excuses.
Absolutely. And I think that needs to be the case, right? You need to go in there and you need to absolutely put in a shift, put in a good performance, and walk away with a result. We'll talk about a little bit later what we ultimately think that result may be. Obviously, you're in a good position that where you finished above them in the table, that even a draw will get you into the next stage of the Liguilla. Of course, though, you don't want to necessarily count on that being your ace. We'll see exactly how America lines up. I think both of us will talk in regards to what we think, tactical speaking, what Jardine is going to put out there. I know he had a press conference earlier this morning. We are recording this on Tuesday, November 25th. So Jardine already spoke to the media. There's a little bit more than 24 hours before the first leg in Monterrey. But yeah, plenty to talk about. And Chris, let's start off with a little bit of drama that unfolded when Liga MX announced the TV scheduling and the matchup days. We all expected America to somewhat either play Saturday, but since we knew Tigres and Toluca both finished first place, it was mostly expected that they were going to do it, and we were going to have the Thanksgiving Sunday matchup. Funny enough, it's crazy, but I don't know if this has ever happened before, but to my knowledge, we're having three Liguilla playoff matches on a Saturday, and then three on, well, obviously this Wednesday, and only one on Sunday. That is absolutely crazy. What were your thoughts? And then we'll go into this specific as to why the league had to do this, but what was your thoughts when you saw that America was not only going to be playing Saturday, they were also having a very good primetime window this Wednesday, but had a very early game scheduled for Saturday?
I had a mixed emotions because personally, I wanted that Thanksgiving game. To me, we've had those Thanksgiving in the past, and just being able to just chill, you're either waiting for the food or you're eating it, and the game is on, right? So I wanted that. Obviously, there's also NFL, but if your team isn't playing, it's kind of just on the screen, right? So I was kind of hoping for that day game. And then my second reaction was kind of like, oh, here comes the crybabies, right? Here comes the, you know, politics, again. All that, whatever, you know? And obviously, there is kind of that, like, wait, hold up, maybe it is the point. But then I started kind of digging into it, and if I'm not mistaken, it's the city saying they don't want too many events going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And with Cruz Azul playing too, they were kind of like, you know what, get those out of the way, and we have other events in the city too. So, hey, the funniest part about all of this to me was the whole complaining about Tijuana playing at 11, but it's not 11 in Mexico City or in other parts of Mexico. It's not 11 in Tijuana, I mean. It's in other parts of Mexico. So it's funny to see the reactions of people not knowing time zones and how they were saying, oh, how are you going to have a 17-year-old kid playing at 1 in the morning?
1 in the morning?
And it's like, bro, there's time zones.
Yeah, it's funny. Math was not mathing for them. Yeah, it was interesting when I saw, because, I mean, it's not like America's not used to playing Sundays in Liguilla. We've seen it in the past couple of years. That's not an issue. And I'm just curious as to, I guess, the logistics behind it, because we've seen them have events before, right? When I'm pretty sure this is not the first time that America, well, because I was going to say, if the Estadio Azteca was there, maybe it would have presented itself a little bit different. But if that was the case, America and Cruz Azul would have had to choose an opposite day. And maybe that is the case. Maybe it is because they can't have too many events going on within the same day. I mean, obviously, you already have one league scheduled up. And then, I mean, if you have two back-to-back, I would imagine the amount of police that you can only designate to these events kind of limits you. So I understand the reasoning behind it. As America fans, obviously, no one's going to complain. Again, I don't think it would have been the end of the world if we would have gotten Sunday. But ultimately, the one weird thing to me is, it's not necessarily the fact that we have three games on a Wednesday. It's the fact how they scheduled the time zone. And now America, for some reason, is playing at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, which is very odd for a Liguilla matchup. You know, I'm used to 5, 7 p.m., but 3, that...
Oh, man. Hopefully, it's not an empty stadium when during like the what was it, the swine flu season, where it was empty and we were so bad too. Hey, but shout out to the homies on the East Coast. They're going to get to see an early game for like the first time in a fat minute.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be 6 p.m. for them. So yeah, that was the drama that unfolded. Obviously, we'll see how it all ends up playing out, but America has only one task and one task in mind, and that's Monterrey. And how do you combat that, and how do you kind of work around? Obviously, they presented themselves as a very good team in their home soil. They have been a little bit on the decline. America's going to want to capitalize on that. But it's not to say that we've been the most perfect team either. I think there's things that we need to clean up. And it'll be interesting to see the first 15 to 20 minutes to see what exactly is it that Jardiner intends to do. Because there's been times that he goes into these games with the mindset of, as long as they don't score on us, and as long as, you know, we walk away with a minimum of a draw, we can kind of take it home and we can win it over there. Is this a little bit of a pragmatic approach? Do you think that this is something that, you know, Jardinesh is going to rely on a little bit more, just depending on how his team's playing? Or do you think we need to be aggressive from the get-go?
I think his approach will depend on how healthy we are, because it's easier to, like, we have our ideal starting 11. It's easy to just maintain that. But the moment that you start to see, like, for example, let's say we're up 1-0. We're entering the second half, right? Here comes a 60th, 70 minute. I think that when he sees the game start to be more intense, that's when he starts to see, you know what, I have to sub in such and such, right? I think that's when it's more of a gamble, right? But I think he's going to be the same coach as he always is. He's going to test the waters. He's not necessarily going to be too aggressive. He's going to give what you allow him to give, right? I always go back to kind of boxing, right? Because early rounds, you kind of just test each other and the fight moves on, right? As they start to know each other. I think this is what America is going to do. I think they're going to be aware of, hey, they might not necessarily be in great form, but you can't deny talent, right? And I think that's one thing Monterrey is always going to have, is just talent that could instantly just change the game for you. So I think there's going to be that respect, but I also think there's going to be that awareness, depending on the lineup, right? Like I said, because it's very possible, and Jardiner always does this after an international break. He falls in love with a player that he played in the friendly, and he plays him, and it's like, you shouldn't play him, right? Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see a situation where we kind of try to hold a tie, a result, in Monterrey, but I do think it's going to really depend on the lineup, and it's going to depend on what they give us.
Yeah, and that's kind of been Andrés Jardiner's Achilles heel, right? In big games and big moments, making those little tweaks and changes to be a little bit more reserved on defense, and it's come to bite us multiple times, right? I mean, just look at that Cruz Azul semifinal elimination in CONCACAF Champions Cup. I think that game would have been a little bit different if we don't necessarily fall back and put in Nestor Araujo on defense. I think, you know, if you play it out with the players you got, you literally had them on the ropes. You could have gone and had it your way. So, yeah, let's see if Jardinez learned from his mistakes. Obviously, he's a phenomenal coach. He's done phenomenal work for us. Right now, I do think it's more of a limitation rather with the players than it is with his coaching. And like you mentioned, it's all going to come down to how healthy is our most ideal starting 11. And I guess we should start there. What do we think is going to happen? Do you expect a back three? Are we going with a 4-2-3-1? Well, you know, that kind of shifts into a 4-3-3. What do you think formation-wise we're going with? Because it doesn't necessarily mean just because we're playing a certain formation, we're going to play a certain way. But it does help us kind of understand a little bit what the approach is going to be.
If you go off of how the season went, you do expect the back three. You expect Borja and Kevin being more in front. But at the same time, it really depends. Because here's the thing. You end the season with say, Max and Brian playing as this, like, false nine-ish type players, right? Like, similar to what Milan does, where it's, like, Nkunku and Leao, right? Very similar situation. And it makes you wonder, like, if Henry's available, does he say, you know what, he's my only nine that I really like, I'm going to play him? Does he play Buffalo, because Buffalo has been his nine the whole season? You know, it's one of those things where, like I said, it depends on how he approaches this game by the formation he puts out. I would expect a 5-2-3. I think that would probably be his ideal formation. But at the same time, if you have a Henry and he's looking good, does he go out there and start him and say, you know what, he's too valuable even if he's not at 100? Or if he is at 100, he's still way too more valuable. And even if he's rusty, he's better than what we have. So yeah, it depends. There's a lot of questions going into this game because of the injuries and the break and everything. But I probably do see a lineup where you see a Ramon, Israel, and a Cáceres, where Israel plays more of like a center back, defensive mid.
See, that's interesting, because what I was going to allude to is I think we will see a back three, but not necessarily from the get-go. I think it will be a makeshift back three. I think we'll start off with a 4-2-3-1 formation, and Borja will play at left back, but when America transitions into attack, Borja will kind of tuck in and act as that third center back. And then, you know, you'll have him, Juarez, and Cáceres that will act as your back three while Kevin pushes forward. Obviously, I do expect, I don't know why, I expect Brian Rodriguez to start this game. But I also expect St. Maximin to make an appearance as well. I don't know if it's going to be from the starting position or from the bench. It'll be interesting to see how you fit that into your equation. Because, like I mentioned last week, St. Maximin, as great of a player as he is, he does not defend. And you're leaving that right-hand side exposed for Monterrey to attack, with them kind of pushing forward and their lines. I don't know exactly if America's willing to kind of play that risk with having Alan St. Maximin play as your left winger. And then, if needed, I think, you know, Israel Reyes can fit into that third center back role. If you want Borja to push a little bit more wide, you just have Israel Reyes drop a little bit more, and then you still have your back three. At least that's how I'll go. The starting striker is I think what's going to baffle a lot of us. From what I've seen and from what I've read, correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen any reports stating that Henry is good to go.
I have, but I don't know if it was reliable. Because what I read was, I don't know who said it too. So I just remember reading it. It was one of those like us, right, where we kind of post news from reporters. And they said Violante, Henry, and I forgot, and Zuniga, they're all back and healthy and ready to go. That's all huge I've if read.
Violante's ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. So that's what I read. I read those three guys are ready. Now, obviously, throughout the week, you're going to get more news, right? Because you're going to see who's practicing with the team or separate. But that's what I read. So
And look, I'm sure we're going to get somewhat news in the next 2-3 hours as the team's probably already flying out to Monterrey. We'll see who made the whole trip and everything. But, I mean, the game's already... First leg's tomorrow. I don't expect a big change. I don't expect a miracle to happen, have Henry there full fit and ready to go. And even if he is ready, I mean, this is a guy who hasn't had match fitness in how long? So it is a gamble. It's a huge gamble. And if it doesn't pay out, you're going to be struggling up top, and that's going to just create frustration, which is eventually going to lead all the way to the back line. And that's obviously something you don't want. So it will be interesting. I do think that if Buffalo is the most healthiest striker and if he's 100%, you go with him just to kind of keep your rhythm going. And Buffalo has had himself a much better season than, you know, what we thought he was going to have. And look, I mean, you know, this may be something, this might not be, but I mean, he's returning back to that Monterrey stadium. He was able to bag himself a goal this season in that stadium. And there's an opportunity to kind of put the nail in the coffin to that team that ultimately kind of tainted his career in a sense until he came to America. So, you know, he's got something to play for with a little bit of extra. And so I'm curious to see how that all plays out. Luckily, though, it looks like Sendejas will be ready to go, right? So that's a huge plus. I think he's been, if not our most creative, one of our most creative players going forward. Hidalgo, from the looks of it as well, he should be good to go. Let's see how that knee injury continues to kind of help him out. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting who that third center mid is going to be. Is it going to be Chiquito? Is it going to be Alexis Gutierrez, who we all hope it's not going to be the case? Is it going to be Saint-Maximin in a center attacking mid position? I don't know. What do you expect?
So Leon Lecanda just put out a potential starting 11.
Starting 11?
He's never accurate. So
Ever.
He's at never. So take it for what it's worth, right? If he hits it, shout out to him. So he put Malagón, Kevin, Cáceres. That is between Ramón and Igor, which I said, don't be surprised if a player, that he fell in love with a player that played him friendly. Borja, Reyes, Fidalgo, Chiquito, Sendejas, St. Max, Buffalo, Aguirre.
Interesting.
Which isn't surprising, right?
Mm-hmm.
But probably the surprising thing would be that Rayo doesn't start. And I'm sure, you know, because you and I both feel the same way that, you know, and he's been the player that has contributed the most, right? Look, we could have our opinions on players, whether we like their style or whether we like how they play. But this is where I'm kind of a hypocrite when it comes to stats, because you know how I am with the whole analytics thing. I think it's useful unless you're using just that, right? But he has contributed the most goals, right? He's our best. This season, he's our best contributor. And you did see it once he got subbed. They subbed him out, right? Once he wasn't the starter anymore, you started to see that. And mind you, this isn't a team that is necessarily super heavy on creating chances either, right? So the fact that he was a top contributor means something. But hey, he also comes in as a sub and has that impact. So, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with him not starting. It's just surprising that he doesn't get to start.
Well, I mean, it's what they say, right? It's a big head scratcher, and any coach would want to have this problem as to who you start, right? Brian Rodriguez or Alan Saint-Maximin. Now, I mean, a lot of people would argue that you could put Saint-Maximin at that number 10 role, and, you know, whether or not that's going to work out, I don't know. I don't know if we're in a position to kind of experiment in that sense, whether it would work out or not. At the end of the day, though, we need to see a performance, regardless of who gets put out on the pitch. It's clear and evident that the starting 11 needs to go out there and put in a shift, right? And if we anticipate that they will shift into a back three sometime throughout the game, then it's evident that we're going to have to push our lines. We're going to have to push forward, and we're going to have to put Monterrey in uncomfortable positions in their own half. So, obviously, creating chances is one thing. Putting them away is another. And I think that's something that America has continuously struggled this season. Put ourselves in good positions, and we've just kind of scuffed a couple of them. You know, in some moments, you're a little bit unlucky, but still, put the ball in the back of the net and then kind of worry about the rest afterwards. And controlling the game in that sense, you know, if and when America does score the first goal, let's say, in a very early position, and you put Monterrey on their heels to kind of come and attack you, I don't necessarily need for America to then park the bus, right? I think you need to go out there, attack, exploit the spaces. This is when either Brian or Saint-Maximin is going to come out super handy, just because if you force Monterrey to come forward already, defensively, they already look like, you know, that's their biggest weakness. So just go out there, exploit them, and walk away with a good result. I think a win isn't out of the realm of possibility here for America, right? just as much as a draw isn't either. It's going to come down to how badly does America want to take an advantage to the Estadio Azul Crema. And I guess we're going to have to wait a day from now to get that answer specifically. But how are you feeling about America being able to walk away with not just a draw, but a lead in a sense to take it to the Estadio Azul Crema?
I feel good. Here's the thing. It also depends on if we're able to keep a clean sheet, right? Because I was looking at the insight, and the last six games Monterrey has been scored on. Mm-hmm. That's huge for us, right? Because we have been a very high-scoring team, whether it's been early in the season, mid in the season, but we have been scoring. And that's a positive. Remember, we used to have these debates where it's like, oh, America playing awful, but we're scoring a lot. You know, like, yeah, we're mm-hmm. conceding goals, but it's like, and at that time, the conversation was also Ramon Juarez, why isn't he starting? Igor's coming off of this very long absence. Why is he starting? You put Ramon Juarez in and everything changed. He even started contributing two goals, you know? So it's like confident we could go out there and score two goals, right? Maybe more. One would be cool, but it's like, based on what I just saw, I would probably say we probably should score two. But again, the conversation then goes, well, can we keep a clean sheet? I think we can, but if we put Igor out there, I'm not a believer that we can keep a clean sheet. Because then we start having the conversation about Malagón too, right? And I'm not that hard on Malagón as everyone else, but I do see the decline this season. And to me, it's like, I'll put it in football, right? You could be Patrick Mahomes, you could be Josh Allen, you could be Tom Brady, you could be Aaron Rodgers, but if you don't have an O-line to protect you, you're going to get hit, right? In this sense, if you don't have a defense to kind of make it easier for you, where you only really need to be out there 2 to 3 times a game, right? Sometimes even like one time a game, you know, it's better. That's where goalkeepers shine the most, in my opinion, because it's like, okay, you're there when I need you, but I don't need you all the time. And that's enough for me. And I think, you know, that's what we need to do with Malagón right now. Let's not have him save 5 to 8 or 10 shots a game, right? Let's not have all this pressure on him. You gotta be careful with Igor out there, in my opinion. So if Igor doesn't start, I'm more confident that we can go out there with a 2-0 or more result.
That would be ideal. That would be perfect. And look, Monterrey is going to try to use the aerial duel. They obviously know that that is our weakness. And, you know, they're just going to chuck balls up top and let's see who can get to it first. Obviously, though, that's the only benefit you have with Igor is the fact that he's tall and he'll be able to get to those balls a little bit better than a Ramon Juarez would. But then it comes to the fact as well, I mean, Ramon has gotten much better at winning aerial duels, although he isn't perfect and he still has more to improve in that sense. You feel a little confident that he's capable. And then Malagón is another interesting topic, like you mentioned, him having to command his box, something that obviously, I think, what's the word I'm looking for here? Something that absolutely drew America fans to Malagón was the fact that he was coming out, claiming balls, like, you know, commanding his box and area, and he was, you know, doing a very good job. We've seen a little bit less and less and less of that this season, right? I think especially after the blunder he had at the, the Gold Cup with him trying to come and collect the ball. He hasn't really seemed or been his best. And look, it's a confidence thing. Absolutely. I agree. I know where he's coming from, but he needs to find it. He needs to find it quickly because, again, Monterrey, and not just Monterrey, but if we advance from this point on, everyone's going to continue to try to do what Toluca exploited us perfectly in, and that's the aerial duel battle. So it's, again, one of those things that we have to keep an eye on. Hopefully, whoever starts in the back, hopefully it is Ramon Juarez, but if it is Igor, I think at least we'll have some sense of, okay, in the aerial duel, we'll be fine. But it's once the ball's on the ground and once Monterrey starts trying to attack, you know, through runs and stuff like that, that's when it's going to get a little bit shaky with Igor, and you're going to feel a lot more confident with Ramon Juarez, so... Yeah, neutralize Monterrey in the midfield going forward, nullify their targets, and try to make sure that there's limited to no crosses whatsoever. And I think, like you mentioned, you put your goals away, and you're looking at a very, very good second leg where hopefully the sun will be shining on America afterwards.
Yeah, it's also you have to kind of remember what the regular season game was, right? It was not a good game for us. Mm-mm. And we ended up being 2-2. Mm-hmm. So I think Jardine needs to kind of take notes from that game too, because Ramon Juarez was a key player for that game. We got the tie, and he beat Sergio Ramos in the header, which is...
Yeah,
if you're a Real Madrid fan, you know that doesn't happen even at this stage of his career.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So, I mean, that's the first leg, and you know, Chris is going with a 2-0 prediction. I will be a little bit more reserved. I'll go 1-0. I think America can walk away with the results.
Well, my prediction isn't 2-0. It's more of a, it can be that, but I think...
All right, so what's your prediction then?
But it is 1-0, as just like you. I do think 1-0? It's very possible with you.
So we're both going 1-0 here. Hopefully there is that 2-0. I mean, I would love for America to put the game to bed, right? I mean, you're walking away with like a 3-4-0, but I mean, let's not be hasty here, right? We obviously know it's a very, very good team, regardless of what form they are. They have individuals who can kind of put in a shift that day. So,
yeah, and let's be honest, Liguilla, there's no such thing as putting the bed wet, because you could be 5-0, and here comes the team that you just beat 5-0. It beat 2-5-0. Yeah,
it
happens, you know.
Yes. That's the beauty of Liga MX and Liga. So, with this assumption that America can walk away with a result at hand, you know, regardless if it's a draw, regardless if it's a win, you're going into your home stadium, you're going into your crowd, and now you have to manage a game, right? Which is important. It's not necessarily, you know, you're back at 0-0. It's knowing you have an advantage and utilizing that to your advantage as well throughout those last 90 minutes. America needs to find a way to get under Monterrey's skin. You know, it's not necessarily fouling them or getting them upset. It's just finding them a way to kind of kill them with the clock, basically, right? I'm not saying go out there and make time and, you know, find a way to like roll over. It's passing the ball, frustrating them. The less Monterrey has, the more upset they're going to be and the more inclined they're going to be to making mistakes, whether that's a foul, whether that's a yellow, red card, something that you could take advantage of, a foul in certain positions. It's being mindful and being smart. And I think that's something that sometimes André Jardine, his team has lacked, being able to kind of manage these games, and they put themselves in predicaments when they shouldn't be. I spoke about this with Dylan all the time. It's learning how to play the simple game. It's sometimes the hardest thing to do. But in moments like that, I think that's when you need to just kind of calm down, touch the ball, move it around, and give it to a Brian Rodriguez, give it to a Saint Maxima to kind of, you know, do their thing, go to the wings, you know, exploit the defenders, get those fouls, get those yellow cards, and move on from there. I think this is a second layer where you're talking about having a lead. Then you go out there and you continuously try to find any inch possible to kind of continue to wind down that clock in your favor, and at the same time put your opponent on their heels, so that way you can capitalize that. And if you can score an early goal, I think that definitely would put even more pressure on them.
Yeah, we need to be at home, especially. You have to be more aware of, hey, this is my home, these are my people, right? And like you said, play simple, because sometimes you do try to overthink stuff, and this is the era of coaching being overcoached, right? Mm-hmm. We've said it before. Back then, you would see a player, you give the ball to a Messi or a Ronaldo, and you know the game's going to stop, and then you're going to see them just flow, right? Nowadays, coaches don't let that. You see, if they see that you have a 1v1, but it's not a good angle, or there's a defender waiting for you, what do? They pass it back, right? And they kind of just, while it is simple, I do think nowadays you don't necessarily allow the impact of the player. Sometimes passing the ball back, moving the ball a little too much could be overcomplicating things, right? Even though it sounds very simple, yeah, you're more prone. I mean, it depends, right? It depends on the player that we're talking about. But sometimes you're very prone to make an error passing the ball around without having the intention of going forward, than, you know, that player having that talent of being able to just go through players, right? Yeah. Depends on who it is and how you see it. But I do think, you know, we do have to just simplify everything, right? If you see, if St. Max or Brian has the opportunity to go and score another goal, even if we're ahead, go for it. Because this is a kill or be killed situation at this point of the season. And Monterrey is that team that could kill us, right? Is that team to like again, America and Monterrey have the talent, right? Regardless of how the season ended or how it went, they have the talent. Right now, America has the experience to go on and continue the season more than Monterrey, right? Because of the three campeonato, the final last season. And we need to really show that. We can't be another team. We have to be who we are and remember who we are.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing is that also we're going to see is how hungry are these players still to want success, right? How badly do they want to go out there and vindicate themselves from that final that they lost against Toluca and lift another trophy, right? There's always this lore of like, you know, players are tired of winning and you know, all that good stuff, which is, I think, I don't know. It's what sounds frustrating to me from a fan's perspective to think that these fans were done. I mean, these players were done giving fans a title after title after title. I would assume that you would want to go into the history books as a player with X amount of titles under their belt. So it'll be interesting to see players, how they respond in these moments, obviously with the pressure of having a very good rival in front of you, but also the pressure of knowing that, hey, we can go and make it into our fifth consecutive final and potentially lift our fourth trophy here in league. So let's see how they respond to that and let's see how hungry they are. We've talked about a couple of players maybe not being suited to play for this team anymore and how badly do they still want to be here. Well, I guess we're going to get our answers by the end of the weekend and we'll see how truly good of a team or of a player we have our disposal. So yeah, it's gonna be an interesting first leg, of course, to see how, you know, we can battle it out at Monterrey and how well we can close off at home, and then obviously we'll worry about the rest if and when it comes.
Yeah, gonna be a very, you know, tough matchup. It's gonna be there's everything that we kind of, you know, like you said about the hunger thing. Who doesn't want to get paid more, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure at your job, if they were to tell you, hey, we want to work overtime, you're going to get paid more, I'll do it. Sure, yeah. You're tired. Sure, sometimes you kind of want to take a break. But we're not getting paid like them, right? We're not getting this luxury. Sometimes owners give you cars. Like, wouldn't you want a car? Even if you have to, like sell it.
Yeah, right? I'm sure there's a really good incentive by me.
Right? And these players are in the wrong team if the mindset is, I'm tired of winning. Okay, yeah, that means absolutely. You need to leave. That means you got to leave because you're in the wrong team. If your mindset, like, you think Real Madrid players, right, the famous players that we all talk about, you think Marcelo was like, I'm tired of winning Champions League. I'm cool.
No.
You think Ronaldo was saying that? You think, like, Modric was saying that? Even when Bale and Benzema and Ronaldo left, right, and you're just like, oh, well, I don't know about these next guys. The mindset was the same. It's the same thing for us. No one's bigger than the badge. Like, as much as we love our Fidalgos, our Sendejas, our Henrys, they leave and we're still here. Next guy up. And that's the mindset. Whoever feels they're tired of winning, hey, bro, that means your time's over with. Like, you're getting paid good, you know, but if you think it's, hey, I'm tired, okay, cool, bro, to go wherever you think it's going to be a tougher challenge or a greater glory then, because can't have that mindset here.
No, you can't. You absolutely cannot. So, yeah, very interesting to see how this all unfolds. And I think we'll see, hopefully, an America that kind of flips on his head and we see the monster that it is and the capabilities that obviously we've been discussing about. So, yeah, that first leg is going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 9 Central, 10 Eastern. That's on Wednesday, November 26th, and then you're looking at the second leg, which is, like already mentioned, Saturday, November 8th, I want to say. Don't quote me on these. Oh, 29th. 8th is Friday. So that's going to be at 3 p.m. early, like I mentioned, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, and then after that, we'll see what America's fate is.
My bad for interrupting, but you know what that 3 p.m. reminds me of? And tell me if I'm tripping. Especially in that stadium. Cruz Azul used to play that early back in the day, right?
Yeah. And I remember a couple of America Cruz Azul games at 3 p.m.
Because that's exactly what I remember. And then the sun beaming. And then there's back then where they used to have Azteca America over here in the States. So you would have to go tune into there. And then the Machina sound. I don't know. That's the first thing that just came to mind was just that.
And look, America has played at 3 p.m. already in that stadium. I think we beat Toluca there, if I'm not mistaken, at that time zone. And then I think we played against Juarez as well. That's when Davila scored two goals. Like, one was a header, and then the other, I can't remember what the other one was. But
it was like last game of the season. Oh, no.
It was like early on in the... I can't remember what season. I think it was...
I might have been in Mexico during that time.
So,
if I remember correctly.
So, yeah, it's not out of... It's not like we haven't seen it. It's going to be weird for a playoff situation. That's the only thing. All righty, then. Do you have anything else to add on in regards to this preview, or do you think we got it all?
I think we got it all. I mean, from what I looked up, only Dagoberto is unavailable. Yeah. So it does sound it's a healthy team. So let's see what we put out there and who actually gets valuable minutes. And I'll even say this, and maybe this is a Hail Mary. I wouldn't be surprised if Davila ends up getting like crucial minutes because of what he did against Galaxy.
Oh. As long as he's bagging goals, I mean, that's fine.
I think he's probably, I'd argue this, I think he probably has a bigger impact at the nine than Zuniga.
I can believe.
Maybe equally as Buffalo, but depends, right? Because you're wingers and stuff, but
yeah,
I could definitely see Davila getting crucial minutes.
Well, that'll be interesting. Let's see it's important to see how the bench responds to them getting minutes as well. Alrighty then. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up our preview here. So just make sure you guys follow us at Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with what's going on minute by minute. It should be an interesting 48 hours. Obviously not consecutively, but it should be interesting 48 hours with America playing at Monterrey. And then, of course, closing it out at home. Alright, a couple of things before we wrap up here. Obviously, no big shout out to the ladies as they've lost their fifth consecutive final, or is it fourth? I can't remember.
I read seventh. Well, not consecutive, but seventh.
Seven finals in total. Yeah. If you lost six, I think. Something around those stats. Don't quote me. I think we might be missing something there. But yeah, no shout out to them. Another frustrating end to the season. I think it's...
That first game. Honestly,
I don't even know what it is. It's mind-boggling. It's baffling because this one felt like it was like there, like that 100% yours. Like that you were winning 3-0.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, we've become a laughing stock in that department because of it, you know. And, you know, when speaking to AJ about this, it's so difficult to kind of pinpoint whether it's necessarily 100% the coach, if it's the players, if it's a mixer of both, and if it is, what do you do? Like, don't get me wrong. When you look at the way that this team has been built, from the years it's been built, this is Villacampa's side, you know, and they've brought in a multitude of talent that has responded. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they've not responded. They've done a tremendous job throughout the regular season. They've done a tremendous job throughout Liguilla. It's just for some reason they can't get over that hurdle. They can't get over that last bump in the road. And honestly, I mean, it showcases that maybe you need to completely kind of, not necessarily clean house, but you need to get rid of a lot of players because I don't know if the mindset is there that these players are just thinking, we just can't get over it. We just can't get past this final stage. And you need to get rid of some of these players, which is unfortunate because I do think a lot of them are very good and have added so much value. But if you've been there for almost 4 years and you've consecutively reached finals, and you're not winning those finals. Yeah, a lot has to be said. And I know AJ wants to validate Villacampa and say, you know, he's a really good coach. And I'm not disagreeing. I think he's phenomenal. I mean, to get to that many consecutive finals, that speaks volume. But this is America. You're in the business of winning. You're not in the business of making it to a final. So I think, too, that needs to kind of take into consideration and say, you know what? If a team like Tigres, who has, you know, had X amount of different coaches in between the time that Villacampa has been here, and they've consecutively been able to make glory and history, what's stopping us from on finding the next quote unquote Villa Campa for us.
There's a lot of controversial takes, man. I'm not gonna pretend I follow the women because I'm very casual. I ask AJ all the questions because AJ is gonna give me the most honest question. I know, you know, basic stuff, but I'll never pretend like I know more than anyone. To me, I think it's a psychological standpoint, and I think it's one of those things where it's not fair. And this is gonna be a controversial take, but I've seen it enough that I don't think it's an unpopular, but it's definitely controversial. Maybe it's not fair for the women to have this pressure on them for the success that the men have had throughout its history, right? Because you and I will sit here and say, it's America. Absolutely. But is the women's the same? Because we don't have the same type of perspective with the youngsters, right? The youngsters should have that mindset. This is America. But they don't. They're very bad as well. Or the women aren't bad, but they're very bad. The youngsters are bad, right? The boys are bad. When it comes to the women, psychologically, they're kind of saying, right? Because if you look at the game against Monterrey, against Rayadas, right? Last second header. It's just one of those. What was that, a header, a penalty? What was it? It was a penalty, right?
Penalty, yeah.
Yeah. Like last second thing, then Pachuca, and then this, where you were up 3-0 and you lose 4-3. It's like, at some point, I do think it's a psychological thing, and maybe the pressure of, like, we're in America, and maybe for the women, you shouldn't have that mindset. Again, controversial. If you have an opposite opinion, I completely understand, because in the day, it is America, but I do think it becomes unfair in a sense where it's like, how can you have a winning mindset where on that side of history, it's not like the men's side, right?
Yeah.
It's more of a, we're winners until these big games come. And you can't be known in this club as the almost champions or the chokers or whatever you want to, you know, the nicest thing you could probably say. And I've seen that take a lot in America Twitter. I've seen that saying, you know what, it's not fair. Obviously, some people are way meaner than how I'm explaining it. But again, you know, what do you do? To me, it has to be psychological. You don't win 3-0. You're not, how do you go in a game winning 3-0 and they go and score 3 on you in the same game? That means you lowered your guard. You were already celebrating. You were already thinking of glory. And again, this goes back to what we're talking about, the men in this Liga. There's no such thing as a closing the door, or what term did you use? Finishing the store, whatever term you use. It basically like, you know, ending it early. You don't end it early. It's until the game ends. And you have to have that in your mind, because my uncle always used to say, all they need to do is score one, and the second one comes and the third one comes, because they already know how to get there, right? Yep. So again, it's all psychological to me, and maybe in that sense, we kind of had to separate the men's history to the women's and kind of let them be their own thing, have their own identity. That way, when it comes to those important moments, they know how to create their own and not have the mindset of like, oh, we're going to be compared to the men, right? It's not fair.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so hard to kind of distinguish them both when the crest is the same. They play in the same stadium, right? They try to bring in the same set of fans. Obviously, that's going to spew over to the women's side of things as well. I don't necessarily think that's 100% a bad thing. It does have its repercussions, like you're mentioning right now. But I completely agree with you. I think this is 100% a psychological defeat. The minute that Tigres scored the first goal, heads dropped, minds started going into panic mode, thinking, oh boy, here we go. What if they get a second? Oh no, they get a second. What if they get a third? Oh, they got a third. And now it's like, you know, you're kind of just looking at the clock. You're thinking, please, 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 you know, blow the whistle already. And that's not a way to win a final. It's not, absolutely. It's not a way to confront it. And yeah, it's unfortunate.
And that also speaks to level on your leadership. And you need players that know how to, you know, calm everything. Even coaches. Let's say you don't have the players, but you have a coach. And this is where you say, right? Because I'm not going to go against anything AJ ever says. Because AJ knows women's soccer more than anyone. And anyone listening to this, go and follow him. If you want to become a fan of women's soccer, there's no one better than AJ. My humble opinion, there's no one better than AJ when it comes to that. But I do think, right, it's like when we talked about Piojo. And then you saw Solari. Remember, back in the day, those conversations. What was Piojo? Piojo was a motivator. And he got the best out of the most talented players because he knew how to motivate them. Not coach them, but motivate them. Solari, the opposite. He could make a bad player look good. Right now, yeah. I think what America needs, the women's team needs, is a motivator. Because the talent's there. You're hitting the finals consistently. But you need a motivator, not a guy that's going to coach the team. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know much, right? But I do think that's kind of the psychological thing.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting to see how America Family kind of fixes this train wreck that they have going. And I guess we'll have to wait and see. Cross our fingers for the millionth time that next season is the season for that very, very sought out third championship. But yeah, that's the last thing I wanted to add. Anything else before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think that we've talked transfer window the other day and
yeah, it's been pretty quiet since.
There was a rumor of a Puebla player that supposedly Merlo said, but I didn't find any video, and maybe he said it on one of those streams that he joined.
Yeah, tune into live, yeah.
Yeah, but he's an attacking midfielder, Uruguayan, 24 years old, Emiliano Gomez. He's a free agent. If I'm not mistaken, he's a free agent. He should be a free agent. I last thing I saw was the free agent.
Okay, well,
America and he scored like 6 deals. Goals and 4 assists in 16 games. So, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this transfer window develops. It's like we mentioned last week, with the American League, don't expect a lot of news to come out. When and after this whole season is completely shifted and done, then we'll start weaving out the transfer news and everything. But, alrighty, Chris, with that said, I think I'm pretty content with what we discussed about. Now let's see if America is able to respond to this moment.
Yeah, let's hope there's another week, right? Let's hope there's
that's always the goal in the year. Let's just pray and hope that there's another week to the madness. Alrighty, man. Well, thank you so much for taking out the time to talk all things with America. Enjoy your vacation. Stay safe. Have a safe flight, brother. And we'll be continuously talking on the side. But yeah. Hopefully you have a good time out there, man.
Thank you. I leave the 6th of December, so there's still a good chance we're back here, but...
Oh, okay. Cool. Perfect. Yeah. Well, then...
So, like I said, let's hope there's another week, because if there's another week, I'm
that's
here.
Right.
But if not, then this is a goodbye for the remaining of the year.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
All right, brother. Well, have a good one. We'll be back, hopefully, next week to continue to talk all things Club America in the league. And then, if not, then we kind of... We'll close out the season and everything, but... Like I said, we have full faith and confidence in that Jordan is able to get the results here and keep this team on track. All right, then. With that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.